Julie Manns. I'm here with Julie Manns.
Hi, everybody.
We are both, doctor and doctor. We're both psychologists. And what this presentation is going to be about is how to find daily profits in a headline-driven market. We are equities traders. And Julie and I have been trading. Let's see here. We've been doing this since, trading since 1995. We started when this whole thing started. We've been teaching trading since 1999. We've had traderinsight.com has been around since 1997. And we've been doing sort of a mastermind mentorship program with students twice a year with 20 students at each one for the past 10 years. And there we are, right? So we're down on the floors of the exchanges. We spent a lot of time down on the floor of the NYSE, especially early in our career, primarily because we were graduate students at the time and we were working on MBAs and PhDs and trying to get data, crunch data. So what we wanted to come up with was a model for trading that would be essentially, if you're a statistician at all, you're covarying out the effects of news, right? So you're taking pure price action and you're taking all the covariates that exist in the market and you're getting rid of them and you're trying to come up with a strategy that's going to let you focus on just pure market-driven action, right? Price action. We only trade New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ listed stocks. We trade only things that are by and large over $20 a share, do better than 300,000 shares a day. We don't do any pink sheets. We don't do any penny stocks. If you're here looking for that, that's another session with someone else. We are not really focused on that stuff. To us, that's a game of musical chairs, right? There's not enough liquidity there. It's not like trading on the big board. It's not like trading on, these big high cap stocks that we like to follow. Even the small cap stocks we like to follow are going to be very, very liquid. And you'll see as we progress through the presentation here, what our focus is and why it is that we focus the way that we do. Now, all that being said, right, when you think psychology, then what you really have to think about is what goes on in your head. Because if you're following everything that we teach you, whether it's at our boot camps or whether you're just following us, live every day and watching us trade or trading along with us, the only way you're going to replicate what's going on and what we're doing is if you can connect your head to only the things that make sense for you to connect to, right? So you need to be connected to what's going on in the markets, what's going on with the strategies. You need to be able to have very good attention that you're paying to the strategies themselves. And if there's a bunch of extraneous stuff going on in your life and you can't keep that out of your focus, then you're going to have a hard time, locking in on the opportunity for profit. And you're going to develop something that Julie likes to talk about, which is habitual thinking. And those bad habits get hard to break really quick.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm working on right now is putting together a multi-week intensive workshop on getting a psychological edge in trading, really no matter what you're trading. So whether you're investing or Forex or any other thing, a lot of our folks also do options. It's really helpful to understand what's going on in your head. As I like to say, the only thing that shows up at the computer every day is you. So your tools might change and the market might change that you're trading, but you're the one at the desk, right? So it's important to know what's going on in your head. And these things in front of you are called habits of mind. There's a couple ways that we think, two ways really. There's automatic thoughts that go on because the world is full of things. And as we developed as human beings, we have to react to a whole lot of things. And if we had to think consciously and in the front of our brain about all of it all the time, we'd never get anything done. So we have automatic thoughts that go on. But the important thing to understand is just because you think it doesn't make it true. And oftentimes the things you think aren't true. And these are the biases, some of them, there's many of them, that a lot of people have in general. And these, when applied to trading, can really mess you up. So you've got things like entitled thinkers who believe that they're just owed things. You might see that in yourself every now and then. Now listen, all of us have done some of these at some point, right? There's labelers where you make judgments about people quickly. They're just a jerk or that trader doesn't know what they're doing. There's all about mirrors where everything that's happening is about me. Who among us hasn't said, that specialist, he was out to get me?
Well, I've certainly said it.
Exactly. Yeah. Negative thinking is one of the biggest evolutionary ways that we do think. I, in another presentation, have talked about out on the savannah, if mistaking a rock or mistaking the thing by the tree, the beige thing by the tree as a rock is not such a big mistake, but mistaking as a rock, but thinking it's a lion and not think, or it's a lion and you think it's not a rock, however that works, you know what I'm saying? That's a problem, right? So in our evolution, we are taught to be negative, to always think it's a lion. But in trading, that's going to mess you up because you're not going to get into trades that way. Take your trades. You're not going to evaluate trades fairly. Powerless, you know, sometimes people are victims or blamers. So you get the idea. There's black and white thinking, this is good or this is bad. Perfectionism screws up a lot of our clients because it has to be the exact perfect trade before they get in. And, you know, trading's a little bit more fluid than that. So these are just some of the things that we're going to go over and have people evaluate as they do this course that we're going through. Because it's helpful to identify that so you can actually parse that out of your trading.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for identifying all this kind of stuff. You know, as I said, we do this income trading boot camp twice a year. We get about 600 people apply for this thing, and it's 20 get accepted to each one. And if you look around that table right there, you know, I mean, I'm not going to call anybody out, but I can tell you exactly who the negative thinkers were. I can tell you exactly who the catastrophizers are. You know, I can tell you exactly who the people are who came in with too much confidence, who came in thinking they knew everything or feeling like they know everything, or they know how to get the ball across the goal line, you know, that kind of mentality. And really, when you get people in a room, and whether you're going to be trading, the kind of stuff that we trade, or you're going to be trading Forex or options or futures or whatever, you need to make sure that, you know, whatever learning you're doing is geared for adult learners, and that you understand that, you know, learning is something you should be doing all your life. I mean, both Julie and I have, you know, between us, we each have 3 master's degrees and a PhD, and, you know, you keep learning. And a lot of you have done the same kind of thing. You're engineers, you're attorneys, you're physicians, right? You do things in life, or even in your own career, where you just go and, you know, you don't have a graduate degree. You've gone and done something, and now you take continuing education. It's really important that you focus on, you need to be able to learn in an environment where you're looking at relevant material. You're looking at stuff that's actually very timely, very pertinent to what it is that you're trying to do. The coursework that you're doing keeps you actively involved, right? You're not going to learn how to trade from a book. I'll tell you that much for sure. I've written many books, and they're all good books, and people like them quite a bit, but they're not going to teach you how to trade. They're just sort of going to get your head in the same place as mine. They're going to show you the patterns that I'm looking at. But active involvement, having somebody talk to you about what it is that you're learning, having somebody look over your shoulder, having somebody who, you know, talks to you over the course of time. Our mastermind group, right, this is a one-year program we put people through, which is why we limit it to 20 people at each event. The alumni can keep coming back forever, so they provide a nice buffer for the new guys. They provide nice feedback. In this case, you're getting immediate feedback from us, and you're getting immediate feedback from them. And in our case, you know, you're at a live trading event where you've just done 4 weeks of online training, and now you're following it up with 3 days live, actually 4 days live, where we're going through and you're trading live with, you know, in your own account. You might be simulating, but most of these guys are trading live. And we go through and we do lots and lots of reps, lots of practice.
Well, it's a year of an hour of coaching a day in the trading room
right,
live.
Right. So we work, live, you know, with all these guys constantly. And I think that's just important for you to think about as you're trying to learn this stuff. It's often the case that people put themselves in front of trader education, and you do yourself a disservice because the thing that you're picking up on is just sort of a canned, set it and forget it kind of a program that somebody did, and they put you in front of it and maybe they'll answer some questions, but there's no real-time interaction, no real-time coaching. So I can tell you, I talk to, you know, most of our guys quite a bit, right? So we do lots and lots of phone conversations. And one of the things that we learn early on about people is that if you're gonna learn to trade something, you really need to understand what this whole thing is about, right? Trading is not necessarily developed for you. Trading is something that was developed for the institutional side of the business. Trading is something that was developed for funds and money managers and $2 brokers and floor traders and, you know, specialists we've worked with over the years. And those are the guys this business was really put together for. And you have to understand that playing field and what your relationship is to that playing field and how you can operate in that arena then, and get yourself comfortable with the risk and the potential reward and the skills and the tactics that are going to put you on the same side as the institutions, on the same side as the specialist, on the same side as the designated market maker, the market maker, right? You need to be in there sort of riding the coattails of what's happening in the market rather than trying to beat the market. You're not going to beat the market. Anybody who tells you they're putting up 1,000% returns, you know, my first response to that is always, no, you're not. You're not putting up 1,000% returns. You might be doing well. You might be doing a big return at some point in time, but consistency is what this is all about. You need to have the skills. You need to have the tactics. You need to be completely disciplined in what you're doing. And in our case, this really comes from having a very, very structured trading plan. And you're going to see in a second here just how structured what we do every day is. And what I want you to note is you're going to have a couple weeks access. I think it's actually going to be extended to 3 weeks access with the holidays here. You're going to have access to what we've done over the years, and you're going to be able to see every single trading plan and every single outcome all the way back to 2006. They're all the blotters are there, and it's all structured as entry, stop, target, and the money management rule. And there's none of this maximum favorable excursion stuff. You're just looking at, here's where I was supposed to get in. Here's where I was supposed to get out if I had a profit target. Here's where I was supposed to get out if I had a loss. And there is no mumbo jumbo, as my son likes to say, he's 12 years old, in between. You're looking at an actual trading plan that's structured and an actual trading plan that professionals are putting to work in the markets. So, you know, it's a big challenge. Trading is different than anything most of you folks have ever done in your life. And when we come in every morning and we talk to our guys, right, most of our guys from at least the last couple of years of boot camps, and in some cases all the way back to the first one, are in our trading room with us every morning. And it's a group that is there to try to point out opportunities to each other. It's not an open outcry room, right? We're working from the same trading plans. And, you know, every opportunity that you put in front of somebody involves a choice. And, you know, in some cases, it's hard for people to make that choice even when they know it's the right choice to make. So your psychology can creep in from all sorts of historical things that have happened to you over time and really mess with your ability to trade profitably. And, you know, it's some of the folks we've worked with, you know, they're used to working hard, and they're used to, if they go to work every day and they just bust it, right? They are just working as hard as they can every day. They're gonna make money. And really, trading is about being smart about what you're doing. It's about finding the right opportunity. It's about not jumping on top of every single potential setup that comes your way. You need to go through, you need to analyze, is this exactly what I was looking for? Is this the trade that I've been waiting for? If it is, then we take it. And if it isn't, we have to pass and wait for something to come along, even if that means we don't have a trade. So this is really, you know, I'm going to say, if you're new to it, it's unlike anything that you've ever done before, right? There's very few jobs in the world that are going to send you to work, and if you do less than perfect for the day, they're going to take money away from you, right? And that's kind of what trading is. So you need to have a very clear head. You need to be very, very perceptive about what's going on, and you need to get educated. So this stuff is new content for a lot of people. And I get a lot of comments at the, you know, we do a lot of big public speaking events. And what I'll tell you for sure is your NYSE broker, your NYSE specialist is always anxious to learn what we know. But a lot of people at the big events that we'll speak at, you know, they want to tell you that they're very smart and that they're able to do this stuff on their own. And, you know, they don't need coursework. And then we get to talking to them and we'll say things like, well, you know, how long have you been working with your strategy? Oh, I've been doing this for 10, 15 years. And are you happy with the results? Well, you know, I could be happier, but, you know, all in all, it's moving along. And I'll say, well, are you making money? And well, no, you're not making money. You've been doing this for 10 or 15 years. And then you're telling me you don't need training. You need to go and invest in your education. You need to go find somebody who can put you in front of opportunity and explain to you what that opportunity is and how to capitalize on it. And all of that revolves around your psychology.
Yeah. You know, the last line there is even smart people go to school. Everybody goes to school, and we work with a lot of smart people. It's just, this isn't anything like what you've done before. And I don't, you know, walk into a surgical room and pick up a scalpel. I'd have to learn how to do that too. So anyway, this wheel is just to remind me to tell you that psychology, you know, I'm excited about putting this course together. And psychology has a lot of different disciplines, and we are taking the best of each one of these disciplines and pulling it together for this course. So, and then the brain down there is just to show that the one thing I'm going to tell you but not talk a lot about is this neuroplasticity, which is they've recently, biological and neuroscientists have found that your brain can create new connections no matter how old you are. So we'll go over that in some other time. But this time, what I want to talk to you about, and this is a challenge that you'll be doing, and you'll be taking some, if you join us, you'll be taking 3 different assessments, and there's more coming. It's a lot of fun. And Adrian's going to talk to you more about what else goes on with this challenge, but I wanted to say this is what we're talking about today is a challenge. You're not buying anything today. This is a, we want you to join us. We're interested in how your brains are thinking. So
right, we don't have a special offer for you. The special offer is you can join us if you give us a little something, which is we'd like you to take 3 trader psychology profiles that we have. So if you sign up for the psychological challenge, you'll take those profiles. It will give you your scores. It's not going to charge you anything. There's not going to be some pop-up that says pay $20 to get your score. Now you get a full assessment of what it is, and we'll be willing to go over those with you in a live seminar, like on a Saturday afternoon or something. And what you'll get in exchange for giving us a little bit of data, it's anonymous. We're not going to have you pegged or you know, call you out somewhere, meet you at a bar and say, oh, we remember you. You're the guy who... No, this is just, you give us a little bit of data and then we'll give you access to all of our trading plans and all of our live trading. And you can see if, you know, we encourage you to simulate, you know, can you tinker with your psychology a little bit based on the results that you got and change things around a little bit? And are you able to follow then a professional trading strategy, just sort of soup to nuts, and see, can you get to where you're profitable, you know, either on paper or in your account? But, you know, really the gist of what Julie's been working on most lately is that this is more like sports psychology.
Yeah, this is a really exciting one. We haven't done this before. A lot of what I'm reviewing right now is this performance psychology. So whether you're an elite athlete or an elite performer, let's say dancer or musician. So there is this idea that we have that practice makes perfect. It doesn't. So there's 2 kinds of things that they'll pull out. One is deliberate practice and one is naive. And naive is when you go and say, hit a bucket of balls for an hour. And you just hit a bucket of balls on the golf course. Or for instance, just keep playing. If you're a pianist and you keep playing on the piano for the same song again and again, just working at it and you'll get there. It's not going to happen. So what they really say is if you're going to get better at this thing that we're doing, which is, you know, trading, what you need to do is have deliberate practice. And that is not about talent. It's about working hard. It's also not about the 10,000 hours, but more about that in the course, you know, that you always hear about. But it is about working hard, but it's working hard with specific goals in mind. So you have to be challenging your body and your brain to advance. So, and do this perfect practice. So in other words, it's not just your golf swing. It's where you're going to put your elbow on that golf swing. Okay, next, where you're going to put your hip on that, whatever. I'm not a golfer. I could tell you about skiing, but there, a lot of you I know like to do that. And you can maybe relate to this idea that you can't just go hit balls. You have to be constantly focused on what you're improving. So for trading, obviously, is it your order entry skills? Is it picking out certain trades? What is it that you need to do? And you need to focus, have feedback, and then fix it and go back, focus, feedback, fix. So let's say you get into deliberate practice. So here's what you're going to need to know. So to develop skills, as I'm listening to the guy, what makes sense is, you know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Go to someone who's already knows about the wheel. Go to someone who's already doing what it is you want to do. Get a coach, join a program, get educated in something so that you don't need to do this from scratch. Why? Get to up to speed as fast as possible so you can advance from there. It's got to take you a little bit outside your comfort zone. You've got to be working at it. With effort, with goals, engaged with it, and have a clear picture of what you want that to look like. And most importantly, you've got to keep evolving. We have a lot of folks that just want to keep going over the same thing and do the same thing the way they've been doing it. It's not going to get you to progress in your trading. So to go ahead and achieve your maximum performance, you're going to need to deeply want to trade. And we find that in a lot of things. We find that a lot of these different disciplines that I'm pulling together, you know, you have to be passionate if you want to trade. There's enough difficulty without being dragged into it. You also have to set aside time to practice. So whether you're doing it, let's say you're doing opening trades, like we're going to talk to you today, you're going to either do that live, let's say with paper, or you need a simulator so you can do it more and again and again. We have a different trade that if we have time, we'll get to. And if not, you'll see it live when you join us in our Zoom room in the mornings. But it requires a lot of concentration. And there's a lot we really think you need to practice so you can see what's going on there. And that's maximum performance. Sports psychology is telling you that too. Number 3 surprises a lot of people, but I'm really going to bring that into this course. You have to sleep and be in good general health. Really, you can't perform in any athletics, and you sure can't perform trading just likewise. I think a lot of us think, oh, it's just pushing a couple buttons, or, oh, you know, 5 hours of sleep, you know, for nights on end is going to be okay, and I'm going to perform as well as I could. We can tell you for some of our most intense trades, this is not going to work at all. And a lot of times we'll just go ahead and skip those trades.
Yeah. Sleep deprived or hungover. Those are bad combinations. And I've met people who do both, right? I've met people who were floor traders for actually a guy for Bank of America who went to work drunk every day for months on end and didn't understand when his career was over.
Yep. So anyway, and then also the discipline we're going to bring is they practice intensely for 1 hour and then give yourself a break. So be fully there for 1 hour and then head on. And that's why we only trade for an hour in the morning. Some of our trades are very intense, and 1 hour is the most at which they say that your brain can stay there and be really focused. Make sure you can constantly see improvement in what you're doing and surround yourself with like-minded people, which is what we do. I was really happy to pull all these things together.
Like-minded people, I'm going to say very, very important. I'm going to say also avoid this sort of same boat phenomenon that we see going on. It tends to be the case that when we meet people, a lot of the folks that will gravitate to each other are sort of the ones who are having the same experience. So the guys who are having a hard time trading, who are losing money, will wind up lumped in with the other guys who are having a hard time trading and losing money. And what they should gravitate to is sort of the best kid in the class, right? You want to go and you want to learn from your peers who are better athletes than you are, not people you can commiserate with. So with all of this in mind, right, let me go into strategies here. Let me just tell you about workflow, because workflow is super important in trading. And the way that I structure my day and the way that Julie structures her day is really all about managing workflow so that it's manageable. Because if you come in and you're going to shoot from the hip every morning, you're going to get killed, I guarantee. What you want is to have your trading plan structured in such a way that you know. So in our case, we trade actively the first hour to 90 minutes of the day. That's it. The rest of the day, this stuff's on autopilot. And the reason for that is, you know, we see in ourselves, we see in our students, our colleagues, the mastermind members that, you know, people fade. They don't want to admit that they fade. Everybody thinks they can be, you know, I can be there 6.5 hours a day doing this and then do my analysis every night and still be, you know, on my game every day. It's not true. So what we do is we divide the day up and always have into these four strategies. And the four strategies that you're looking at are done by time. So it's by time of day. So the NASDAQ scale, you're going to have access to all these things. If you do those psychological challenges, like I said, there's nothing to buy. There's no special offer today. If you do the psychological challenges, you'll have access to all this stuff for 3 weeks. And you can go through and try it yourself and see, can you wrap your psychology around this stuff? The scalper strategies that I do, those are all me. That's not Julie's psychology. She doesn't like to scalp. I go through, I identify volatility bands with the guys. You know, we put together all the volatility zones that the programs are going to hit in. We set up trades for the opening bell that are going to capitalize on order flow right around the open. Then 5 minutes into the day, we shift over to that 2SD gap strategy. I'm going to talk about that in more detail here. I'm going to show you how that strategy works. 2SD gap strategy goes through, finds things that are gapping more than two standard deviations of the volatility that we would expect to see them gap by. If they do, we're looking for a mean reversion. And that's a trade that we can automate then by going through and putting in bracket orders. We look at the bracket, we set it up, then we shift back to the scalpers. And over the course of the day, the other things that are here, right, that fastball XRV strategy, that's our own program trade that we set up the night before. That's all done with conditional orders. The only thing we have to do over the course of the trading day is monitor to see, did the market make a big gap? If there's a big gap, we're going to defer those orders and we're just going to let those orders go live once the market settles in 5 or 10 minutes into the trading day. Usually we're looking for spreads to tighten up, for stocks to sort of settle into a trading range. Then we release those. And then there's the around the horn trading plan. And that one, you know, you can go through, look at this on the site. That's a gouge sheet there on top, right? Gouge, you know, G-O-U-G-E, gouge sheet. That goes and takes the entire plan for whatever day this was and breaks it down by, you know, here's each symbol, here's the entry, here's the direction we're going to go, here's your stop, here's your target, 50% to target, that's identified there because at 50% to target, we set our machine up to move the stop to break even. A lot of times Julie just sits here and watches them and she'll pull the line on the chart to break even when it's time to move the stop. And then, you know, the target, you're taking your profit off. And then there's other sections of this plan, as you can see, like the stocks to watch, basically functions the same way. You're just waiting for the open before you release that trade. But But all in all, what we have here is you've got 14, almost 15 years now of data showing, okay, this plan works, right? It gives you precise triggers. You know exactly what your reward to risk ratio is going to be for the day. You need to have a winning ratio, whether it's in terms of winners to losers or, you know, the absolute magnitude of a win in a trade versus the potential loss in a trade, right? Somehow you have to make sure you're trading right side up. And when you go and dig through, this is what I was telling you, you need to have a detailed plan. Now, this is the summary for the year so far, okay? This is not the individual months. You can go when you're on your 21 days, we're going to do instead of 14, like I said, so we've got holidays and all this stuff in here. But if you go through and you look at the spreadsheets that are available in the trading plan that you're retrieving every night. So every night you retrieve it in that, you're going to get a text message that says trading plans are ready. Then you go, you log in. In the portion that you're going to retrieve plans from, you're going to see the historical database of every trading plan that's ever been published and all the historical trades. Goes through month by month, gives you each individual symbol. You can go through and paper trade these things all the way back to 2006 and then trade them forward for however long you're looking at them. And what you're going to see is I break these things down by here's the pattern distribution. Everything I did was around a baseball metaphor. So my first book, the bestseller in the industry was Around the Horn, A Trader's Guide to Consistently Scoring in the Markets. And I've told Ollie before, originally that was called A Multivariate Analysis of Covariance in the United States Equities Markets. And you can imagine that wasn't high on my publisher's list of titles. So we went and we reworked it, did it around this baseball metaphor. And all these things here are on the pattern distribution is, you know, fastballs on expansion of range and volume, infield flies and extension, reversal, line drive is a gap and go that also has an expansion move, 3-2 pitch. That's a move back down into the range, sort of a last shot for a stock to break out. Backdoor slider, that's an inside consolidation after an expansion of range and volume. Switch hitter, that's a ratio pullback, right? A Fibonacci pullback. Double header, that's sort of a kings and queens move. And sinker, that's a phenomenal trade that looks for stocks that are making 52 weeks highs on expanded range and volume and then reverse. And then you know what happens there, right? The last money in is the weak money. That's the first money out. And those things wind up reversing and going up to the short side faster than I don't know what. And they are our most profitable trade overall. But this here gives us the opportunity to look through, well, how many times did a pattern present? How many times did that pattern trigger? When I look at those two pies, I want to make sure that those portions of the pie are roughly equal. I don't want to be cherry picking trades. I don't want to say I like fastball. So I've got a ton of fastball trades set up, the expansion of range and volume. But then really the only thing that triggers is 3-2 pitch, right? I want to make sure I'm focusing my effort on market cyclicality. The around the horn trading plan, all about market cycles, all about sector cycles. You're just trying to stay in tune with the market and ride the coattails of the market. We're never trying to beat the game. And then importantly, right, you look down here and you see what's the pattern profitability. Those profitability bars should also then be proportional to the triggered pattern distribution, because what you're looking to see here is, all right, did I get into the things that were actually, did I find the things that were actually presenting? Did I get into the things that made sense to be in versus the market cycle? And then did those things produce the kind of profits that I expect based on the way that they presented in the patterns and in the triggered distribution? All this stuff gives me a lot of data. This is my trading journal, right? So I'm not scribbling notes anymore like I did 25 years ago. I'm sitting here looking at this stuff over time and just making sure that generally speaking, I'm always on the right side of the market. I don't look at the P&L every day. I don't even look at the P&L every week. It frustrates the heck out of a lot of our followers, right? Because they're looking constantly at the P&L on their screen, which I think is a death sentence. Get the P&L out of the picture. Just focus on the process. Focus on what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And then later you can look down here and see what's my overall profitability look like, right? How many winners? How many losers? How many scratch stops, right? The money management stops that got you out at break even. What's my gross in dollars per share traded? Okay, now on a $100,000 account, if I went 4-1 with just this strategy, if I'm all in, right, a PDT account, pattern day trading account, how much should I have been able to pull from the market if I performed exactly the way that the plan did? That's the information that's there. This is where I'm able to go through and analyze versus the blotter. How am I doing in terms of trading? And then that other stuff, the long, short stuff, that just tells you where's your bias. Not a surprise, right, that this year we're mostly short. This year's been a train wreck. This year has been a geopolitical disaster. And, you know, everything has gone wrong and everybody's locked up in their house. And, you know, we're all sick. We've been sick and it's not good. You have to protect yourself. It's done stuff to the markets. It's done stuff to the environment. Most of the opportunity has been on the short side. So given all that, right, what we see happen is even though you get in front of all these opportunities for profits and you look back and you see, oh, gee, piece. You know, I've got data all the way back to 2006 that says, if I do this right, I've got a really good chance of doing well. A lot of our people still, they fail to pull the trigger on a good setup. They let losers run. They cut winners short. That's a psychological misstep right there. I can tell you for sure that goes straight to sports psychology. Americans are trained. It feels good to win. It's bad to lose. Making money is winning. Losing money is losing. So if I cut my winning trades off as soon as I have them, right? If I take 20 cents instead of the dollar that I was targeting, I can get lots of little winners. And then if I wait and I let the losers run, right? Well, maybe it's going to come back. Well, if it comes back to break even, I'm going to get out. If it, well, you know, now it's almost a break even. So I'm going to see if I can get a little bit of a profit out of this, right? And before you know it, that loser becomes an overnight position, which is the, you know, the worst of all scenarios. And then we would talk to people who say, well, you know, I put that thing in my retirement portfolio because, you know, I still think it's a good stock. And then we, you know, have famously told them, well, you know, you shouldn't call that a portfolio. That's a portfolio. And, you know, the same thing with adding to a losing position, right? You go right down this list. You know, we've got a guy, you know, John, who I can always call out. John Conforti, you'll meet him in the room. Morning profits, afternoon losses. You know how long it took us to convince him to walk away from the machine when he was booking $1,500, $1,700 a morning in the first 5 or 10 minutes? And then by the time an hour, hour and a half of trading was over, he was down $2,000 and had to spend his whole day digging out of a hole, right? You're going to be good at certain things. You need to focus on where your strengths are. You really need to identify the fact that, you know, the morning, the first hour, hour and a half is going to be where you should be most active. Don't take unplanned trades, right? You're never swinging for the fences. And a lot of these guys, man, they reduce position sizes after losses. And what happens is they get a loss. The next one, they scale it down. All right, I took, you know, whatever, 500 shares on that first one. Oh boy, I don't want to go through that again. Then they go down, they move it down to 50 shares. Now they had a winner. Then they ramp it back up again. Then they have a loser. Then they ramp it back down again. And now you get into this psychological misfit where, you know, you really can't get yourself in front of what you think your trading ought to look like. So again, you know, I'm going to say just a quick plug again, join that challenge. We'll extend it to 21 days. It's totally free. You can go through, look at all of our trading plans, right? There's no, you know, normally there's a charge for all that stuff. And you can take the outcome of your psychological measures and you can see, based on the advice that we'll give you, where it is that you need to tweak things a little bit, and then see, can you go and paper trade along, or you know, simulate along, or trade small share size, and can you replicate the results?
So one of the things, lastly, we're going to talk about, and Adrian's going to get to strategy, is one was the cool things in looking over the sports psychology, reviewing it, was that even in sports psychology, they talk about mindfulness. So I think a lot of people think this is a very touchy-feely thing, that it doesn't apply to them. This applies to all of us. There's, you know, tremendous evidence that through the evolution as humans, that we've had a lot of time on our hands to think. And they actually, our brains have developed that we need some time for downtime on the brain. We work more now than the hunter-gatherers ever did. The recent data is that it's probably about 5 hours a day. And without you know, lights or television or any other thing, you can imagine how much time you had to just let your mind drift a little bit. Super important today for everyone. And as you can see, you know, in this graphic we love, is the human on the left is thinking, you know, a million thoughts going through the head. And the dog is actually the better trader, because when you're trading, you need to be in front of your screen and you need to be fully there. You need to let these thoughts go on behind you, and you need to have this focused attention, which is very, you know, sports psychology. You have to openly monitor what you're doing, what you're thinking, how this is going, so that, like I said before, you can fix it, you can focus and then fix. And then also, you know, you have to accept the loss and move on. So, because what we find as this compassion, people also somehow think is touchy-feely, but it's not. It's if you can let go of your loss, you can move on to the next winning trade. All right, enough of that for now, but come join us and do this challenge.
Yep, so now I'm going to talk about a strategy. And, you know, this strategy is going to be news-driven. So as I said in the topic of the presentation, right? We're trading in a headline-driven environment. This has been a mess over the course of the year. We've had to react to a lot of things. I get guys who are very well trained by us and who have been trading for a living now for a couple of years or even 5, 6, 7, 8 years, who will come in the morning and ask me, hey, you know, just to be clear, we looking long or short today? And I mean, one of them is a former market maker, right, who wants to confirm our bias on the session. That's not an abnormal thing, right? It's like the strategies right now are very, very specific and very, very driven by news. So the one that we focus on that is sort of an in-your-face news trade, this is one that I called Baltimore Chop in that Around the Horn, a Trader's Guide to Consistently Scoring the Markets. And we're not going to get as in-depth as maybe some of you have seen me do other presentations where I really go through, I develop the formula and all that stuff and show you how exactly this thing works. If you sign up for the challenge, I will send you a one-hour sort of quick seminar that will take you through just step-by-step-by-step how this thing is put together and how it works. And then when you join us live, you'll know it exactly the way that it's presented, and you'll know exactly why it is that we're looking at these things the way that we are. But basically, what we're doing is we've got a scan set up on the markets. We used to look for, we used to look at the implied volatility of the front month contract for every single stock on the exchange. And now what we're doing is using true range as a proxy for that volatility measure, because it winds up being a very good approximation. It gets fed into this matrix, and this is part of the site, and you'll see this while you're there as well. The things that are highlighted in yellow there, those are just trades that I took on that particular day, so we sort of alert people when we can to, all right, these are the ones that Adrian's focusing on, especially when there's a long list like this, because I don't want to keep going back and telling people, yeah, you know, I said Akamai, or I said, you know, whatever here. But this is it. This is, and it's divided out so that you can see. It's divided into three columns: S&P 500, 400, and news. And then it's got an asterisk for every stock that's trading on earnings. And earnings are our favorite play when it comes to this. So this is a somewhat seasonal trade, although it does provide triggers over the course of the year. The further you get away from earnings season, the less of these that you get. But basically, and I mean basically, the way that this works is, assume these are 5-minute bars on the chart here. So you're tracking into yesterday's close, and you're making, you know, sort of a high close. And then this morning, you've got a gap lower. And that gap winds up being two standard deviations of what you would expect in terms of volatility. So the volatility, you're taking your volatility measure, you're developing what's one standard deviation, you multiply that by two, and you add it and subtract it from your mean, and that's how much of a gap you're looking for. So that's what the software is doing sort of behind the scenes. Very easy to program, and I give you the code and everything in that course that you'll get if you sign up for the challenge. And then what we're doing here in this basic example is, this is the classic form, right? It's a 1-2-3, 1-2-3-4 kind of an entry. Is we're just going to follow down as those bars make lower highs. And the first bar in the gap, that right now is our highest high for the day. The second bar, if you look down, you know, it's going to be the next bar lower. That's going to be the next lowest high. The third bar down, the next lowest high. The fourth bar down, that makes the lowest high in the gap. And that signals our entry point. So this is just like doing a pullback trade. Every single bar that gets put in, you're just moving what would be your potential entry down to whatever the high of that bar is, right? This is in the case of a long. We're going to go long just above that high. And then we target something, generally speaking, in the first bar of trading, either the high, the low, the open, the close, someplace that we saw significant volume happening in the first 5 minutes of trading. That's where we're looking ahead for the hills, because generally speaking, right, if that's where they were making the market right at the open, that's where they're going to be willing to make the market again. And they're going to push it right back in the other direction generally. And you don't want to be part of that. You just want to get your profit and get out. So the assumptions here, right, are just normally distributed data. I can tell you that volatility data and market data are normally distributed. We've done a ton of research on that. True range is a proxy for volatility. That's true. You can take our word for it. If not, you can go and do some research yourself. You'll see that it matches very nicely, especially for the purposes of gap trading. And volatility is mean reverting. All of this stuff here, all these assumptions, give you access to the standard normal distribution. And what a standard normal distribution does is, in the middle, you've got an arithmetic average. That's your mean, right? Everybody knows what an average is. Go out one standard deviation. That accounts for 68% of what you expect to see in terms of a move away from the average for the morning. Go out two standard deviations. Now you've accounted for 95%. 95% does not mean you're 95% certain that it's gonna fade the gap. It means you're 95% confident that you're going to have a mean reversion. And all that a mean reversion refers to is the middle line there is the arithmetic average. You've got periods of high volatility. Those are those red balloons. And then you got periods of mean reversion. That's where your price is moving back towards the average volatility, back towards that measure of central tendency or mean. And you're not looking for closing the gap. You're not looking to get all the way back into yesterday's range or anything. All you're looking for is to hit one of those targets. And those targets are always based on major price inflections, or in some cases, we use fib ratios. So here's an example from last week. I was sick over the weekend, so I hadn't looked at Friday's data or today's, but this is from last week. So this is the more morning scan. And as I said, you're separating out. We just trade S&P 500, S&P 400 stocks. We don't look for anything that's sort of trading in the pink sheets and all that stuff. I've already said that we trade quality stocks because these are the ones where we get the highest predictability in terms of where the move's going to go. We've got plenty of time to set up entries and exits for multiple symbols. So as I said, this is a very structured thing. So think back to that graphic that I had of our trading plans. The first thing I'm doing in the morning, looking at that scalper setup. Then at the 5-minute mark, I shift over this. Why the 5-minute mark? Because the first bar means nothing to me, right? Because I have a gap. And once that gap's in place, whatever happens in the first bar of trading doesn't matter. What I'm looking for is the second bar going to give me a viable entry? So in this case, right, if I was going to get a violation of that second bar low in the third bar, I'd have an entry somewhere around $96.90, right? Right where that line is. But in this case, the third bar does not violate it. So now my entry gets moved up again. And in this case, the third bar low does become the highest low in this progression. And that's going to represent then where I want to get a short sale off. So in this case, in Moderna, we had a short sale that triggered at the low of the third bar of trading. The violation of the entry bar, which is a very common stop for us on these 1-2-3 setups, that was our stop loss on the trade. And then we were targeting that opening inflection. You can see there that when price got down to that level on the right side of the screen, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, that's volume by price. Those green volume bars, volume by price. And you can see there that price really inflected right at that level that's labeled opening inflection target. That's almost always where we put our target on a trade like this. And you can see that when we set these up, we're just going through and quickly setting up a bracket order. This is Realtek is the software that I'm using, right? You can see here, 97.74 is going to be my stop. So it's a stop limit order. 97.74 is the trigger price. 97.70, the worst price that I'm willing to accept. That's the limit. You want to make sure that you match your expiration. So it's day for the entry and day for the exit. So you're compliant with your order routes. In this case, we're using EQLS. And then we're telling it that we want to go out for a loss 100% of the quantity that we went in for. So if we got a partial fill, right, we don't want to get filled in this case for 1,000 shares on the way out if we only got filled for 970 on the way in. I don't want to be long 30 shares. But we see here that at the stop loss, we've got an exit and our potential loss there is $670 with the share size. And at the profit target, we've got an exit, same thing for 100% of what we got in for. And that's going to be an $1,840 profit. So it looks very simple, right? What's the problem? You know, the war room, you know, we call our first hour trading pit the war room. The war room is really right between your ears. And what you need to do is get to the point where you're trading these strategies or trading whatever strategy you're working with the courage of your convictions so that you're able to look at this stuff in the morning and say, you know, I know what to expect here. I know what the best expectancy is for an outcome. I've seen enough of these. I've simulated. I've gone through. I've done that hour a day or hour at a session that Julie was talking about. And I've gone through and I've just really hammered a bunch of these trades. I'm super confident. I'm very good with this order entry stuff. I know I can do this. And you get in front of the opportunity and you actually trade it. Because what you'll do is you'll talk yourself out of trades and then you'll wind up taking the trades that didn't set up as well just because you're frustrated, or you'll wind up chasing, or you'll do all the things that were on that list of things you shouldn't do. And in the end, the tweak that you needed wasn't to your strategy, it was to the way that you think. And you know, these things work, as I said, on days that we have earnings, on days that we have fewer earnings. Like, you know, here we just had one the other day in Williams-Sonoma. And you know, what you do in this case is you focus when you have a shorter list on, okay, I'm going to go straight to the ones that have an asterisk. I want to make sure that they're also in the news column. And then I want to see that the price represents a price that's going to give me a good opportunity for a profit. So in the case of GSX, GSX just wasn't a trigger. That one just didn't give us an opportunity to entry. So we were also watching that. But you see, we've got a stock there that's $10.67. I'm not interested in trading LGYW because that's going to be a very narrow range profit objective. I've got to go and change share size. I like to trade fixed shares, fixed share lots. I don't like to monkey too much with size. And when I see something like Williams-Sonoma pop up and I see that the spread on the open was 61 cents, I know that within the first 5 minutes, the liquidity of that stock with 195,000 shares in the first five, that opening liquidity is gonna narrow the spread, and that's gonna be a good opportunity. And you know, in this case, the only difference to the trade was this winds up being one of those FIB expansions. So once we start analyzing what's going on, we see, okay, the first bar low is the highest low. And if the second bar were to violate it, that would be our short sale entry. But, right, where the heck is your profit objective in this case. And it's been the case that it is, downright spooky to some of our guys who will say, well, you know, what, I need to be an oracle to find these targets and hit them this way. And then they learn that, you know, things like fib ratios, fib expansions, all that stuff, they work because the crowd is, I don't know that I believe it's about grains of sand or seashells or tree trunks or any of that stuff or the universe expanding. What I believe is I'm a psychologist and I can tell you people behave in predictable ways. And one of those predictable ways is there's a lot of fib traders out there and they're watching these things. So my target for these, the 1.382 expansion, right? 138.2% is where I'm looking for the trade to expand to. So once I get that short sale, I've got the entry and then I look over to the right? Where's my violation going to be for a stop loss? I see very significant volume by price there. I can have a tight stop. If price gets it back above all that volume by price at my entry, what am I expecting to have happen? All right, if you're looking at this, you should be like right off the bat, you should see those voids in the volume by price there. Those are an algorithm that goes through and figures out the importance of volume by price in real tick. But when you look at it, you see the next important threshold up at 112.17. I'm not interested in like a $2 stop on this thing, right? I'm interested in figuring out where is the best parameter that's going to tell me that if it breaks through that level, it's going to rock it up and be someplace I don't want to be, something I don't want to be a part of. In this case, we've got a very strong threshold, right? We also have the entry level that we're getting in at represents a real strong threshold. And then, you know, if we violate those two, we know where our stop is and our fib expansion ratio, 138.2%, that's our target, right? If you go through and you look back at these historically and you look at all the examples that they're going to present for you, what you're going to find out is very frequently, especially on the short side of the market, the very first opportunity you have to short the lower the first bar, that 1.382 expansion is going to be the place you're looking to go. The long side, right? I call the short side, I call them trapdoors, I call the long side flip tops. The long entry is a little bit more hesitation, right? We usually look for it to violate the high of the gap down, look for it to violate that high at least twice. There's a couple of tips and tricks that you'll see. But reality is this trade gets you into the 95% confidence interval of the mean, and that is the place you want to be when you're putting trades together. So again, the way you would structure this, pretty simple, right? No matter how many shares you're trading, you could default this to 10 shares and just give it a shot, or 5 shares or 1 share, or simulate it. But what you want to do is identify, right, what's your stop price that you're going to get in at, right? So that's your activation price. Some people get a little confused about the term stop. Some software calls it activation, but this goes back to the floor trading days. You know, I want to enter 110.34 stop, 110.29 limit. So stop is where I want to get in. That's the trigger price, 110.29, the limit. That's the worst price that I'm willing to accept. What do I base that on? I'm looking at the spread. So I'm looking at the spread on the level 2 screen, and I'm seeing that maybe there's a 4, 5, 6, 7 cents spread. I'm gonna spread the stock a nickel. That just based on experience, I can say, you know, very frequently it's gonna come back into the range, even if it pops on you, even if it jumps over your price when it first prints. And then once again, right, you just want to put together your exit for a profit and your exit for a loss ahead of time. And why do you want to do it ahead of time? Because I don't even know who's in this room today, but I know you're all very prone to second guessing. I know you're all very prone to going and changing an order because you see a hesitation, because you're on the way to your profit target. You're on your way to 108.94, but you wind up taking off the stock at 110 when you had a 30 cent profit because it starts hesitating. Now you're thinking it might head back in the other direction. Oh, if it does, well, I don't want to turn this into a loser, right? But the reality is if I set it up this way and I just put it out there and now I focus on my workflow, I go back, all right, I'm gonna look back at those morning scalps again. I'm gonna look at something else. I let the trade take care of itself. Even 25 years later, what I can tell you is I wind up better off than if I let my fingers do the walking and I start tinkering with the trade.
Yeah, that's the truth. None of us are immune to this, and that's why it's so fun to do it.
So with that, I'd like to take questions. I think we left a few minutes here for questions, about 5 minutes at the end. Anybody has any questions, you can just pop them into the chat. I think we can see the chat, or do we just see David?
Yeah, did you find the chat screen?
I did find the chat screen.
Okay. Yeah.
No questions.
Nobody has any questions. I did a brilliant job. Julie did a brilliant job. She always does. But when will the recordings be available? I think that's from the last session.
Yeah. We're good.
But what is true range? So true range is going to be, okay, you know what range is, right? Range is just today's high minus today's low. So if you're looking at a chart in any time frame, right, you're going to have a high and a low on a given bar. And if you're looking at daily bars in particular, there's going to be gaps on a chart. So range for a day is going to tell you today's high minus today's low. True range is going to give you the absolute value of either, it's going going to use the gap. It's going to factor in the gap between yesterday's closing price and today's opening price and include that in the range calculation. So whichever one is larger, right? If the range is larger or the true range is larger is what's going to go into the calculation. And like I said, you guys can, if you sign up for the challenge, we'll send you sort of the short course that gives you the formulas, shows you how to calculate true range. Your software is going to calculate it. The important thing to do is if you're trying to do the two standard deviation calculation yourself, make sure that whatever software you're using is calculating true range, not average true range, because average true range is going to be recalculated in your statistic. If it's calculating ATR, then what you need to do is just set your look back period to one bar, right? And then you're calculating a one bar average. And then that's going to be the same thing as having a true range bar. But that's a good question. So true range is it's just a very good proxy for volatility. The important thing when you're doing statistics always is that you want to make sure that the thing that you're measuring is the thing that you're actually interested in, right? So we used to take the implied volatility of the front month options contract, and we would sort of back end that and say, well, okay, what do we expect then in terms of a gap in the morning, and use that to calculate our gap requirement. But the reality is the thing that we're actually interested in is the true range, which is the gap. So news trading for us is not, so if you've got, if you're watching Fox News or you're watching MSNBC or you're watching CNBC, you're already dead, right? That's not the news we're talking about.
That's entertainment.
Right. That's infotainment, right? They're there to sell you, you know, catheters and reverse mortgages. What we're talking about when we talk news is earnings news, right? That's going to gap the stock, because what happens on earnings is the stock's going to gap more than the earnings really warrant the stock gapping. That's why we're looking for the two standard deviation move, right? Is it out two standard deviations? That means two standard deviations away from a mean. That means the news has driven the stock too far. We're not interested in the news per se, right? What we're interested in is what effect did the news have on the stock, and what can we expect then that the stock is going to do in reaction to that news?
Well, and normal news, right? Like you talk oftentimes about if it's something that fundamentally affects the company, we're not probably trading that.
Right. So if the CFO went and embezzled, half the company's funds and is now sitting in South America somewhere with the company's assets, that's shifted your distribution. That's no longer a tradable event, right? When that kind of news hits the wires, that's stuff to stay away from. That does absolutely nothing for you. The news that you're interested in is going to be strictly the stuff that goes and moves the market based on sort of normal run-of-the-mill things that are happening, earnings, financial announcements, some of the analyst expectations. How long does it take for somebody to learn? It depends. I mean, it depends on how, I'll tell you what, a good way to figure it out is take those psychological challenges, and then it's about how much time you're willing to put into something. You know, it's our boot camp, for instance, is, you know, that's really a process of 4 weeks of online learning with, about 650 pages of workbook plus 40 hours of online lecture, and then 4 days live. And then you'll probably be coming back for more of those, right? For more of the 4 day live events. You don't pay for them after the first one. It's just your food and beverage you're paying for at that point. But some people are up and running. You know, they come to the boot camp and they've made enough money at the boot camp to pay for the boot camp. And other people come and it's 6 months or a year before they're doing well with it. It's important that we get a good assessment of where your head's at. It's important that your psychology matches sort of our psychology in terms of risk, in terms of what it is that you are looking to trade and what you're looking to get from your trading. And, you know, if everything lines up real well, like I said, we get 600 applicants a year. We actually have about 40 people over the year that wind up going to these boot camps. It's not a slap in anybody's face if you're told, you know,